I wanted to bless you if I could. I wanted to leave a spiritual gift with you to the end that you might be established. And so I want to share a message with you that I truly believe is the most important message you will ever hear. And that's not egotism or any such thing, but I believe it's the most important message you'll ever hear because I believe it'll point the direction for you when you're at the most important crossroads you'll ever face. And so pray for me that God will help me to express this, give me strength. It's a wonderful message that I believe will bring great hope and comfort to you and great direction at this crossroads that you will face. And maybe I'll imitate Pastor a little bit. Pastor Gene, not Pastor Jerry, and use the overhead. I don't even know how these things work. Cool. First try. Can y'all see that? This is the Red Sea. Here's Edom. Okay, there's the Dead Sea, and over here's Canaan. There's the Jordan River. Children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and went up this way and crossed into the Promised Land. We don't need this now, but what I want to share with you is this message, if you could entitle it, The Revelation of the Cross. I believe in the old paths. I believe in the old ways. And I'm standing here today to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I want to try to express to you the need for you to have a revelation of the cross, a vision of the cross. A revelation of the cross, I believe, is the most lacking yet most necessary thing in Christianity in any age, especially today. The revelation of the cross is the revelation of the love and mercy and forgiveness of God for you as an individual. I know you know He died for all. I know you know He loves the world. But only on the cross can you see the revelation of God's love for you. There's an old hymn. I guess it's old. Should we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. There is no sounding the depth of God's love for you as an individual. The only object in the universe that can plumb the depths of God's love for you as an individual is the cross of Calvary. And you must have a revelation of the cross. Whether that vision is outward or inward, you must have a vision of the cross. And then you will discover for yourself the love of God for you as an individual and the forgiveness of God. And it will bring to an end your wanderings in the wilderness. It will bring to an end your beating out that same old familiar path of success and failure, as you go round and round. And it will plant your feet firmly on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. It will bring consistency to your Christian walk. He will send him forth in the spirit and power of Elijah to make a way, a highway in the wilderness. Every mountain shall be brought down, every valley raised up. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough place smooth. And He will write His laws upon your heart. When He brings the mountains down and raises the valleys up, that's consistency. The ups and downs of your Christian walk are no more. And only the revelation of the cross will bring an end to your wanderings in the wilderness. You must have a vision of the cross. Amen. The revelation of the cross is the only thing. It is the only thing that will make a bondservant. Because it's the only thing that will win your heart. We love Him because He first loved us, and His love is revealed in the cross. And only when He wins your heart will you surrender to Him. the surrender of a bondservant. Do you know what a bondservant is? In the Levitical law, there was a law that if you had a Hebrew slave, if you were a Hebrew and you had a Hebrew slave, you were to let him go free in the sixth year or the seventh year. He could serve you for 6 years. But if the slave loved his master, he would say, no, I don't want to go free. And they would take him to the judges, to the doorpost, to the door, and they'd pierce his ear with an awl. They put his earlobe on the door and they'd pierce it. And that earring that that man would wear is a sign of ownership and surrender. He's a love slave for the rest of his life. And only the revelation of the cross will make a bondservant or a love slave. And in the storm that's coming soon, the winds of destruction of God's judgments are going to begin to blow. And we read in Revelation 7 where God tells the angels that are in charge of those winds, hold it. Hold back the winds until I've marked my bondservants. And his bondservants will have a protection from the storm, from the winds that are coming. And only the revelation of a cross, the cross, will write his laws upon your heart and seal you in the forehead and make you a bondservant of Christ. And that's your refuge from the coming storm. His bondservants will have a place of safety. And you've heard me speak of the storm before, and I have seen it. God has shown me the storm that's coming. And if you are not a bondservant, and you don't have the seal of God, the mark of God on your forehead, when those winds of destruction begin to blow, you're going to run from the destruction straight into the waiting, welcoming arms of the Spirit of Antichrist, who will offer you his mark as a refuge from the storm. Amen? There's lots of talk about the mark of the beast. If you're concerned about getting the mark of the beast, you need God's mark. If you have that, you don't have to worry about getting the mark of the beast. That is your refuge. That's your seal. That's God's seal of ownership. That ring says you're a love slave. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me get into the message. Paul writes in his one of his epistles that, in speaking of Israel and their wanderings in the wilderness, he says these things happen to them as examples to us. And so, most of you know, maybe some of you don't, but Israel's trip out of Egypt into the Promised Land is a picture of our walk with Christ, out of the bondage of sin into intimacy with God or union with God. The restoration of what Adam lost, that's the Promised Land. It's intimacy with Christ. And so this typifies our walk, and we can glean some very powerful truths from this example of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And I know many of you wander and struggle. And God has an answer for your strugglings, and it's in a revelation of the cross. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20, verse 14 through 22. Numbers 20, verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Lord, you're good. Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Okay, Israel has come out of Egypt, and they've wandered and wandered and wandered in the wilderness. It's not a very long trip into Canaan. They should have been able to make it in a short time. But because of unbelief and disobedience, they've wandered for an entire generation. And anytime you're in unbelief, you'll find yourself in disobedience. And anytime you're in disobedience, you'll find yourself in unbelief. The two go hand in hand. And so they found themselves wandering. They came to Kadesh, the border of Edom. They had to travel through Edom. So that's where we find them. Verse 14, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And we cried unto the Lord, and he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through thy fields or through thy vineyards, neither will we drink of thy water, of thy wells. We will go by the king's highway, and we will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. Kadesh speaks of a sanctuary in the wilderness. It comes from a root that means a quasi-sacred person. This is a person who has had the righteousness of Christ imparted to them, yet they're unclean. They've been brought out of Egypt, but Egypt hasn't been taken out of them. They struggle over and over and over. They continue to fall. And so they're at the border of Edom and Kadesh, and they say, we want to walk through your land to God's promised land on the king's highway. And Edom says, no. They wanted to end their wanderings in the wilderness, and they saw this highway, this path to eternal life, this straight and narrow path. And many of you have seen it, and God has called you to a higher experience, and you've seen the promises of God, and you've desired to pass through Edom to find a new experience to put an end to your wanderings and your failures, only to find Edom coming out and opposing you, saying you can't come through the king's highway. Edom is Esau. That was Jacob's brother. He's the son that sold his birthright, that which is spiritual, for a pot of beans, for that which is carnal. This speaks of the religious bunch. The religious bunch that love church, and they pray before every meal, and they go to church every Sunday. And God is there to bless them, to save them from hell, and to bless them and prosper them, and to keep them in health as they pursue their idols. This is a bunch that they're halfway in between Egypt and Canaan. They got one foot in the world and one in church. They love the things of the world. You see, their passions and their money and their time is spent on the things of the world. Their golf game, hunting, careers. Their concerns are Rolex watches or Ferraris, or vacations with their family. See, the Lord is there to bless them as they pursue their idols. They're in love with the things of this world. They don't care about their inheritance, just their satisfaction, just their belly. You see, they don't care that there's a Canaan. They're well settled in Edom. They have everything they want there. They haven't heard God's call to journey. He's just there to bless them and keep them out of hell while they pursue the things they really love, which is the things of this earth. And they look at you, and they say, who are you to tell me there's something beyond my experience? They say, I live a good, clean life. I live a good, clean life. Yeah, I'm more concerned about lowering my handicap than I am raising my spiritual condition, but at least I don't. At least I'm not addicted to alcohol. Yeah, I'm more concerned with my bass boat than I am with fishing for man, but at least I don't have a problem with anger. And oh man, how the words sting, because you know it's true, and you cower and turn away, desiring to walk that straight and narrow. But here's Edom opposing you. Something else Edom speaks to me of even more so than that is the law. And the law stands to oppose you and says you are not going to establish your own righteousness. You're not going to walk straighter. You can't do it. You're going to fail. You can't walk that straight and narrow, that king's highway. You can't get free from the things with which you struggle constantly. And I'm here to see that you don't, because by the law no flesh will be justified. And you can't get to the promised land through the law. And it's there to force you to find another way. And the law is there to oppose you. The scripture says the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And you have to spend time under the relentless tutelage of that stern teacher called the law. Have any of you ever had a teacher that nothing you did was good enough for them? Any young people had one of those? You do a term paper and you think, man, this is an A+. And you turn it into this teacher and it comes back B-. B-? What does she want? Nothing's ever good enough for her. And that's how the law is. You will never be good enough. It's there to point out your failures. And it's there to resist you, because you can't get to the promised land through the law. And you tell yourself, I'm going to walk straighter. I'm going to do better. I want to walk the king's highway. I want consistency in my life. And this one thing in my life is continually tripping me up, besetting sin. Brothers and sisters, we shouldn't kid each other. There's besetting sin in the church. Amen? Don't y'all look so holy. There is. You know there is. You know the things you struggle with, the things that you don't share with anybody. You know the law is continually, that the law is the judgment edge of this sword that says, cursed is everyone who does not obey the things that are written in this book. And it's there to oppose you and say, you'll never do better. Let's go to Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass or go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. They came back to Edom, and they found they could not walk the king's highway. And many of you have walked around and around and around in the wilderness, beating out that old familiar path of success. As God brings renewal in your life and failure, as you fall again to that besetting sin that's always there to trip you up. And they found themselves at Edom saying, we want to pass through, and the law said, no, we're going to come out against you. You're going to have to find another way. And so they decided to go around Edom. They got much discouraged because of the way. How many of you have gotten discouraged? Beating out that old path of failure, success and failure. And God sent snakes among them, and the snakes bit them, and they felt their life ebbing away from the poison of those snakes, and they cried out to God. And here's the crossroads. They found themselves at Edom, just as you do, discouraged. Oh, God, change me. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed, change me? I've prayed it 1,000 times. And you see that the sin, the poison of sin, is sapping your life. But until you recognize that the poison of sin will kill you, you won't cry out to God. Now, those of you that love your sin, this message isn't for you. You might as well leave. If you want to camp in the wilderness, this message isn't for you. But I believe that most of you hate your sin. And you're crying out, God, change me. And you need to understand that that besetting sin is a poison that will sap your life. And you'll die and your bones will bleach in the wilderness. And it's very discouraging, isn't it, when you can't get victory over that one thing. And you cry out, Jesus, I want to walk the King's highway. Change me, Lord. Show me your cross. Set me free. I can't stop looking when women walk by. Jesus, help me. Change me. I can't stop eating a whole bag of Oreos when my husband's not around. Jesus, help me. Change me. I can't stop taking a drink when my parents aren't home. I can't stop throwing these fits of rage. Help me. I can't stop hurting the ones I love. I can't stop pointing and clicking when my wife's not looking. I can't stop messing around with my boyfriend or girlfriend. It's ugly when you say it in church, huh? And you must recognize that those besetting sins are things that continually trip you up. You must begin to see that it's a poison that will sap your life. And if you do, then you'll cry out to God. Just as they cried out to Moses. Help. I want to walk the King's highway. I'm tired of continually failing and wandering in the wilderness. I want that consistency that God offers me. It's in the revelation of the cross, children. And you must cry out to God for that revelation. And seek him. Listen, I believe in the old ways of doing things. I believe in fasting. I believe in prayer. I believe in coming to the altars and seeking God. I believe of praying. I believe in praying, of wrestling with God until he changes your name. The scripture says, stand at the crossroads and ask for the ancient paths. And I don't believe in self-improvement Christianity. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that perish, but to us which are being saved, it is the power of God. And that word being saved is a present passive middle participle. In other words, it's ongoing and we're not doing it. He's saving us. He is our Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. You're not going to save yourself. I don't believe in self-improvement Christianity. I believe in the old ways of seeking God and crying out, change me, change me, change me, Jesus. And pleading with God and seeking God, you shall obtain the promise through faith and patience. And you pray and don't give up. And you cry out to God, show me your cross. Reveal your cross to me. I promise you, children, that's the answer to your wanderings. I promise you, if you have a revelation of the cross, you will find freedom from besetting sin. And he will mark you. And he'll put a seal on you. And you'll have a refuge. And he will write his laws upon your heart. No longer will it be an external road. I'm trying to do better. Trying to do better. He will internalize it. He says, I will write my laws upon your heart. Psalms 84:5. You preached on. Remember? Blessed is the man whose strength the Lord is. In whose hearts are the ways of him, the King James says. You know what the other versions say? In whose heart are the highways to Zion. Jesus said the kingdom of God does not come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. And when you have a revelation of the cross, those external things that you reach for but can't obtain will be yours. He will internalize it. He says, I will write my laws upon their hearts. Amen. He is our Savior, and He will save you to the utmost. And He has an answer for your besetting sin. There is hope, children. Don't give up. Pray and seek God as though your life were at stake. Because you know what? It is. It is. I promise you, children. Those sins that are sapping your life will kill you if you don't find deliverance from them. A generation died in the wilderness wandering. But God finally brought them to Edom. Finally brought them to the law. The law says you can't go this way. You've got to find another way. And in their discouragement, they cried out. And the poison of sin began to sap their life. They found themselves at a crossroad. And you will too if you're not there now. And the crossroad is this. Here's the choice you have. If you're discouraged from besetting sin and you're under the condemnation of the law that's constantly pointing its finger at you, you have two choices. And there's plenty that will help you with this choice. They'll tell you there's no condemnation, which is true, that scripture, those who are in Christ Jesus. What they're saying is, find a way out of the condemnation. You're forgiven, just accept it. Here's the tag word, the tagline of the modern gospel. Okay, listen to this. You've heard it before. When Jesus looks at you, He sees you as perfect, for when He looks at you, He sees the blood. Well, that helps a little. You know, He sees me as perfect, and here's the choice you have. You can either listen to that and follow that advice back into the desert as the voice of the law grows dimmer and dimmer, and you can learn to live with your sin. You can learn to live with your besetting sin. And the other choice you have, brothers and sisters, is to cry out as they did to Moses. Say, God, help me. I'm not afraid of condemnation. That's the work of the law. It's there to point you in another direction. It's a schoolmaster to show you another way. Okay? The way out of condemnation is not back to the wilderness. There's another way God has. There's another way to get out from under that constant tutelage saying you'll never do better, you're always a failure. Cry out to God, Lord, show me the cross. The cross, the revelation of the cross. The word, the logos of the cross is the power of God to us who are being saved. Now let's look at what happened to the children of Israel. They found themselves at that crossroad. Their life ebbing away from the poison of that sin. In Numbers 21, verse 8. This is awesome, brothers. Numbers chapter 21, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Remember, the serpents bit them, and that was the poison that was killing them. And set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Ijeth-Barim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. Listen, children, all they had to do was look at this brazen serpent. Moses made a brass serpent and put it on a pole. The serpent was empty. It was a form of the serpent, but it didn't have the poison. And Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus had the form of sinful man, but there was no sin in him. And all they had to do to be healed, children, was look at the serpent on the pole. And all you need to be free from your besetting sin is a revelation of the cross of Calvary. Children, all you have to do is look. And I'm not talking about the work of the cross. That comes later. All you have to do is look and see Jesus on the cross. That's all you need. And you'll be healed of that besetting sin. And you'll be healed of that poison that's sapping your life. You need a revelation of the cross, children. And you need to plead and wrestle with God and cry out and say, show me your cross. show me a cross. A man of God told me that many years ago, and I just took him at his word, and I sought God and pleaded with God, show me a cross. Take me at my word. Take me at my word. It's right here in the Word of God. All they had to do was look at that brass serpent, and they were healed. And you know where they found themselves? Suddenly, they found themselves on the other side of Eden. They're free from the condemnation of the law. When you see Christ on the cross, when you have a revelation of the love and forgiveness of God, I know He loves the world. He loves you and you and you. And when you see the cross, you'll see His love and forgiveness for you. And I don't know how, but it will set you free from your besetting sin. It will put your feet firmly on the path that leads to life. It will end your wanderings in the wilderness, and you will be free forever from condemnation. The law will have no power over you. God will write His laws upon your heart. It won't be external. It'll be internalized. You won't have to struggle to do better, to do better. The power to walk the King's highway will be within you, children. All you need is to see the cross. And I said before, I'll say it again, I believe in the old ways of doing things. Come up here and I'll lay hands on you and you'll get a revelation of the cross. No, you're going to have to seek God for yourself. You're going to have to find Him for yourself. You're going to have to wrestle and plead and search for God with patience and faith. And it takes patience to plead with God when He's not answering, and you're praying the same prayer for weeks and months and years, and maybe decades sometimes. But that's the way you obtain the promise. Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you ask, you'll receive. Amen? Amen. That's what you need, children. A revelation of the cross. Numbers, this is awesome. Numbers 21, verse 21. God, children, listen to this. This is awesome. Here's your answer, the cross. Numbers 21, 21, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. Look at this. Okay, they found themselves here. They're past Edom. Okay? They come to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. Verse 22. They said to him, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of thy waters, of thy well. But we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites. Listen, children, they didn't just walk the king's highway. They owned it. They owned it. After revelation of the cross, the walking the straight narrow path won't be a difficulty to you because it will be inside you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. And they possessed the land and the cities thereof, and they dwelt in it. And they found a king's highway. They found consistency, and you will too. And you will find freedom from your besetting sins. All you need is a revelation of the cross. All you need is a revelation of the cross. It's a pretty sermon, and it might sound good, it might not. But there's no way I can convey to you the importance of this experience. There is no way. When you have a revelation of the cross, it will so completely transform your life. In my own case, it was more revolutionary in my own life than my conversion experience. Can you believe that? God's a big God. That shouldn't surprise you, that we should have experiences in God that are greater than our conversion. That's just the beginning. That's when you're born. That's just the beginning. If you haven't had something greater than that, well, I don't know. Maybe you're wandering. There's no way I can convey to you the importance. It will so completely revolutionize your life. It will make you a bondservant. If I were to pray, if I were to say, close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Master, whatever you want to do with me, you go right ahead. Many of you, your heart would go, eek, because you'd be afraid he'll ask something of you or do something to you. And you're afraid of the hard man of your concepts. Like the man who buried his talent, he says, I was afraid because I knew you were a hard man. And only the revelation of the cross will rescue from you from those concepts. And when you have a revelation, I made that covenant with you back then. I said yes, and I meant it. And you won't ever mean your yes till you have a revelation of the cross. Your heart rattles. What's he going to require? And only the revelation of the cross, which is a revelation of the love of God for you, will set you free from those fears of what will God require, what will he do. And that's the only thing that will bring you to surrender. The revelation of the cross is a revelation of the love and forgiveness of God for you. It's a revelation of the sacrifice of Christ that wins your heart. And it says, I see what you've done for me. Whatever you want to do with me, it's okay. And if I struggle, just pull me through. I trust you. Can you imagine? Those of you that don't have that freedom, can you imagine what it must feel like? It's so freeing. Surrender to Christ is so free. Because you're not always trying to resist God and save your own life. You're crucified with him. Because the revelation of the cross will show you the cross that he bore for you. And at the same time, it will show you the cross that you will bear for him. That is what makes a bondservant. There's no other way. And Edom is there to force you another way. The law is there to force you another way. To find the cross of Calvary. Children, I believe in the old ways. I do. The message of the cross to us who are being saved is the power of God. And like I said, all you have to do is see it. The work of the cross in your own life comes later. That comes at Shittim before they cross the Jordan. But all you have to do to end your wanderings in the wilderness is see the cross. Whether that vision, as I said, is outward or inward, you still must have a vision of the cross. And I see Christians everywhere wandering and struggling, failing over and over and over. So few bondservants in the kingdom. I'm very concerned. There are so few that are sealed with God's seal that have a refuge from the coming storm. There are so few. I'm very concerned. So few have had a revelation of the cross. Katie, is she here? Katie Bugs? Come here. Come here. No, just Katie. I want you to look in those blue eyes, clear as the sky. I see something in those eyes you don't see quite often. I see a tremendous desire in her to please her daddy. Sometimes she has that, like, not very often, though. Usually I see a tremendous desire to please her daddy. You're a good girl, aren't you? You please, you make daddy happy, huh? She fails so often. She fails constantly. Like many of you, you long to please your daddy, but you find yourself failing over and over. A lot of times I'll come home from work and she'll say, "Daddy, I was naughty today. I did this and this and this." I used to wonder if she was bragging or confessing. And now I know she's just informing. She believes that everyone should remain informed, and she's the one to do it. I believe that if we raised a young lady that was career-oriented, she would be a broadcast journalist. She would be an investigative reporter, is what she would be, because she's got to know what's going on, and she wants to inform everybody. If I've got the door closed, she wants to know what I'm doing. And if I don't give her a satisfactory answer, she'll figure out what I'm doing by what I don't say. But she confesses her faults to me. She struggles so often. And a lot of times, she'll crawl up on my lap, and I'll say, "Come here, baby," and I'll hug her, and I'll say, "I love you." And she'll look at me, and she'll go, "Make mommy happy? Isn't that strange?" I'll say, "I love you, baby," and she'll go, "Be a good girl?" And I'll say, "Shh, I just love you." But see, she's still under the law. We're still compelling her outwardly to obey rules through the training of the rod. See, there's no way she can comprehend my love for her. No way. She just knows she wants to please daddy, and the way to do that is to mind mommy and to be a good girl. See what I'm saying? Someday after she's grown, she'll be able to receive more of my love for her and comprehend more of it. She's still under the law now. And many of you have no concept of God's love for you, because you're still struggling under the law, struggling with your failures. He'll take you in his arms and he'll say, "I love you, baby," and you'll say, "Stop cussing. Stop throwing a fit and yelling at my wife. Stop looking at girls when they walk by." He'll say, "Shh, I just love you." And you'll never comprehend his love. You'll never be able to humanly appreciate the love of God for you until you have a revelation of the cross. You'll still try to perform for him. When you have a revelation of the cross, it will plumb the depths of God's love for you. And it will reveal the love of God to you in a way that nothing else can. A love that's deeper than the ocean. Should we rethink the ocean fill? Or were the sky of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You need a revelation of the cross, people. You need to pray and seek God. Wrestle with God until he changes your mind. Go sit with mommy, baby. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful, Jesus? Isn't he wonderful? This is the most important message I ever could have shared with you, because it will help point you in the right direction at the most important crossroads you'll ever face. And hopefully it'll put a hunger in your heart to obtain something you don't quite understand, but that something is what you need more than anything. That's a revelation of the cross. I'm going to pray for you. Those of you that want to get your ear pierced, those of you that want a revelation of the cross, I'm going to pray something for you. Zephaniah chapter 12. If you like to turn there, if you don't, you don't have to. Not Zephaniah, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Listen to this, babies. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadaram in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn. Skip down to chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. The spirit of grace and supplication. They shall look on me whom they have pierced. I'm going to pray for those of you that want it. I'll ask you to come forward. And what I'm going to pray is that God will pour out on you the spirit of grace and supplications. And what that will do is it will give you, supplications means prayer, pleading with God. And I'm going to pray that he'll pour out on you the spirit of grace and supplication, so you'll plead with God to show you his cross until he does. I can't pray, Lord, reveal your cross to them. You're going to have to seek them for yourself. But I can pray, God, give them the spirit of grace and supplications. Children, the storm is coming. You've got to have that seal of God on your forehead. You've got to have a revelation of the cross. Stand to your feet. Brother Mark, could you come? When I preach this message, I felt especially, it's for everybody, but I feel the hunger of the young people. Do you kids want the spirit of grace and supplication? Do you want to have your ear pierced? Do you want that freedom from the sins that trip you up all the time? Come to the front. Let me pray for you. Adults, do you want it? You want a revelation of the cross that will free you from the condemnation of the law that's always telling you you can't do better? Spread out up here. You want a revelation of the cross? You see, I knew the youth would be the first up there. They didn't hesitate. And I knew that the adults would sit back there. Children, you need it. I know the things you struggle with. I see it. I know you're always struggling. He says, I love you. You say, stop smoking. Stop lusting. If you're hungry for God, if you want the revelation of the cross, come to the front. Let me pray for you. And Brother James is up here. I'd have him help me pray. Brother, Pastor, would you come and help me pray? What you need is a revelation of the cross, children. And I know there's besetting sin in the church. Brother Dan travels all around, and he, everywhere he goes, he told me, Brother, everywhere I preach, and he preaches mostly in Assembly of God churches, he says, the pastors come to me, and they confess their sins to me, their secret sins. He says, Brother, you wouldn't believe what they tell me. He says these are men that stand in the pulpit every week, year after year, going through the motions. And he says they confess anything you can think of, homosexuality, adultery. Brothers, if that's in the pulpit, what's in the pews? The owner of a large hotel chain said in his city when a major denomination has their annual convention there, he says their pay-per-view pornography sales double. I know there's besetting sin in the church. You're not kidding me. I'm not shocked. I had my own. And I'll tell you something else. Listen to me. When you have a revelation of the cross and you find the King's Highway, will you stumble and fall? Yes, you'll fall often. But you'll never again wander. You see? You'll fall often, but you'll never again wander. It is the power of God to us who are being saved. Lift your hands to God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, pour out the spirit of grace and supplication on these young people. Pour out the spirit of grace and supplication that they would plead with you and look upon you when they pierced, that they might see you, Jesus, and see the cross and the love of God for them. Pour out the spirit of grace and supplication on these young people, God. Teach them to pray and seek you. Teach them to plead with you and wrestle with you until you change their name, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, pour out the spirit of grace and supplication, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. Touch your people, God. Touch my brother Frank, my precious brother and friend. Pour out the spirit of grace and supplication, that they might look upon you whom they have pierced, that they might plead with you, God, until you reveal yourself, until you reveal your cross and the love of Christ that passes knowledge, the height and depth and width and breadth, length of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon my sister. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, in Jesus' name, pour out the spirit of grace and supplication in Jesus' name, to plead with you, to wrestle with you, to find you in Jesus' name. Pour out the spirit of grace and supplication in Jesus' mighty name. Touch your young people, God. The harbingers of your revival, the keepers of the flame, touch them. Pour out your spirit upon them. Give them the spirit and anointing of Elijah. The same anointing John the Baptist had when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Let them, give them the ability to discern your presence, Jesus, when no one else recognizes you. You're here, Master. And only a few recognize it. Only a few can discern your spirit, your presence. Give them the spirit and anointing of Elijah, that they could discern the Lamb of God when he's in the building. The Lamb of God when they walk down the street. The Lamb of God when they're in school. To discern you, Jesus, in your presence. For you said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon your people. Give them a revelation of the cross. Set them free from their wanderings, Jesus. Set them free from besetting sins, God. Set them free from lust and adultery, from thinking about other women, other younger women leaving their wives. Set them free, God, from overeating, from addiction to food, addictions of every kind, addiction to prescription drugs, to drugs and alcohol and tobacco. Set your people free, God, from the things with which they struggle, from anger, fits of rage, gossiping, backbiting, slandering your people. Set them free, God. They say, "I can't control my tongue. I'm constantly slandering and gossiping." Set your people free from their sins, Lord. Set them free. Give them a revelation of the cross. Deliver them from besetting sins. Beating out that old familiar path of failure in the wilderness. Set them free and put their feet on the King's Highway. To walk straight. To walk upright. To walk consistent, to walk into the promises of God. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Teach your people to pray and to seek you. Pray. Can't you watch with me 1 hour? The night has come. The night has come. The midnight hour has come, children. Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Teach your people to pray, God, for the hour is late. I've seen your storm. Teach your people to pray, I ask. in Jesus' name. And it will set their feet to dancing. It will set their feet to dancing. And they will be free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free from the hard man of my concepts. Free from my besetting sins. Free from wanderings in the wilderness. And God, when your people find that path and they come into the promises of God, it will set their feet to dancing. Hallelujah. When I come back, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that I'll see some dancing feet, and I'll see some earrings, and I'll see some seals of God on their foreheads, and I'll see the keepers of the flame distributing revival to young lives who are hungry for you. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. You're so beautiful. Bless my family, God. Bless my family. Bless them. Bless my family, God. Bless my family. Bless them, Jesus. Bless them, God. Put revival in their hearts. Bless them, Lord, and keep them. Keep them, oh God. Pour your oil in. Pour in your oil. Bless my family. Bless my family, God. Keepers of the flame of God. Strengthen Joel. Anoint him, God. Raise him up. Bless him. Bless my family, Jesus. Keep them, oh God. Bless her, Lord. Bless her, God. Bless my family, Jesus. Bless him, God. Bless him, Jesus. Bless them, keep them, lead them in the King's highway. Bless her, my girlfriend of God. Thank you for my brother.
The altars are open up here if anybody wants to come up to the altars. The Lord is here. If anybody wants to see Jesus as their Savior today, come up. He's waiting up here for you. Don't nobody leave here without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Don't nobody leave without knowing Jesus. If you need Jesus, come up. We will pray with you. We'll meet you here. Jesus will meet you right here in the front.